From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
You know, eaters, Thanksgiving can be joyous. It can be delicious. But for a lot of us, it also has its downsides. Traveling a long way is tedious. Cooking a huge meal, well, that's hard work. And being sequestered in a house with your family, well, let's face it, Thanksgiving can be stressful. That's why I'm here to help. All right, we're kicking off right now. 3 straight weeks of Thanksgiving coverage here on The Sporkful. We're going to get you so pumped up for this holiday, you're going to be asking your family to spend an extra night so you can cook an extra turkey. That's how great it's going to be, okay? You know, I talked about this holiday with Mo Rocca recently. You know him from CBS Sunday Morning and Cooking Channel's My Grandmother's Ravioli. He has his own Thanksgiving hang-up, so I asked him how he deals with it.
Well, I start the day feeling inadequate because I don't cook on Thanksgiving. So I spend the rest of the day trying to feel better about that.
And so how do you pump yourself up?
There are a number of things you can do. You can send a lot of emails to people just saying Happy Thanksgiving and making sure it's personalized so that they don't just get like a group text. So that might make yourself feel better. And I look for a historic site to bring my mother to. I know that sounds kind of weird, but...
Like a physical place?
Yeah. But there's only so many times you can visit Mount Vernon.
What about dealing with family? People are waking up on Thanksgiving Day and they may have a wide range of emotions about all the family they're going to be seeing today. What advice can you offer?
The advice I have to offer is that you can't... That life is not a movie of the week. And there's not going to be some great resolution or coming to terms, probably. There's not. And the best you can do is manage situations. And you should feel proud about that. You should feel like that's an accomplishment. You shouldn't feel like a loser.
You shouldn't feel pressure to create this idyllic scene.
Not idyllic or to resolve something.
Right.
In fact, it's probably... not the time to do it.
Well, that sure is good advice from Mo Rocca, and there's a lot more where that came from our all-star panel of Thanksgiving guests here over the next 3 weeks. We're going to cover hosting, guesting, cooking, drinking, and my favorite Thanksgiving topic of all, eating, with a wide range of guests this week. We're doing a New York Times twofer. We'll have Sam Sifton, Times food editor and author of Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well. He and I are going to argue over which is better, stuffing inside the bird or dressing outside the bird. Plus, Sam will tell me the one thing you could do in his house on Thanksgiving that he would consider to be a grievous insult. And Times Magazine drinks columnist Rosie Schapp makes me the perfect cocktail for a fall day in the kitchen. Have no fear, friends. The Sporkful is here for you. You're going to learn. You're going to laugh. You're going to get hungry. It's a very Sporkful Thanksgiving. Stay with us. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're excited to kick off Thanksgiving 2014 here on The Sporkful. I'm going to talk cooking with Sam Sifton from The New York Times shortly, but before I get too far into the whole cooking process... You know, when I know that I'm going to be in the kitchen for a while, especially on Thanksgiving, first thing I like to do is to make myself a drink. Now, you don't want to make yourself too many drinks too early in the cooking process, but when it's a little cool outside and it's a little toasty inside and the oven's going and you're working, you know, you just want a little something on the counter there to sip on. So, question is, what should it be? I found out when I went to a bar in Brooklyn called South, where New York Times drinks columnist Rosie Schapp tends bar.
I'm going to make you a drink. I'm going to make you my late autumn favorite. I love apple-y stuff. I love apple pie. I love cooking with apples, like a nice pork roast with apples, and I love apple-y drinks. So I wanted to do something for Thanksgiving that's pretty apple-y. So one of my very favorite things that I think people don't use a lot is Laird's Applejack, which I understand.
What is Applejack exactly?
It's really an apple brandy. So I also really love drinks that are easy proportionally. So it's one part Applejack, one part smoky scotch, another thing I think people don't mix with a whole lot. One part non-alcoholic apple cider or apple juice. Sometimes when I'm home and I have time, I cook it down a little just to make it more thick and rich and syrupy. A couple of dashes of bitters and just a teeny bit of maple syrup, which I think is also a very autumnal kind of ingredient, and it's delicious. Shake it up. Strain it right into your cocktail glass.
So what do you call this?
We call it the autumn bonfire. And you know, the autumn because of the apples, and the bonfire because of the smoke that the scotch gives it. Normally I'd make like a pretty little apple fan to garnish it with, but we don't have all day, Dan.
And it's radio.
So no one can see. Oh, look, there's an apple fan.
Thank you so much for making this beautiful apple fan for me, Rosie. It really ties the drink together.
I learned a lot in my ice carving and decorative fruit course, so I'm glad you appreciate that.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mmm. It's something so interesting about drinking like a really a chilled, shaken drink in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like, on one hand, it's a time of year where you want something that's going to warm you up a little bit, but you've got the smoky scotch in there, which is going to do that.
Right.
But there's also something that's kind of crisp and refreshing that complements or mimics the weather.
I think it can, and we can't drink mulled cider all season.
That's Rosie Shapp, New York Times drinks columnist and author of the excellent memoir, Drinking with Men. So I got my cocktail. Now I feel like I'm ready to cook. But should I make the same thing that I made last year and the year before? Or is it time to shake things up? I sat down with Sam Sifton, New York Times food editor and author of Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well. And we started off talking about that tension, you know, between sticking with tradition and trying something new.
The food media, of which I am a part, each year comes to Thanksgiving with a new idea. Here's a new way to make the turkey. Here are 7 great appetizers to change your Thanksgiving feast. And that creates pressure on those of us who are cooking Thanksgiving because we think, well, I guess I do need something new. I can't make my mom's Brussels sprouts again. But really, when else do you make your mom's Brussels sprouts? They're pretty good, or they're terrible and you should abandon them in favor of something else.
Right.
But the point of Thanksgiving should be an embrace of the tradition. The notion that you're going to say, you know what, we're going to do a pork loin or we're going to do a roast beef for Thanksgiving strikes me as insane. When else are you going to cook the turkey?
To me, what makes the turkey special on Thanksgiving it is that of all the foods you might cook on Thanksgiving, I mean, yes, you're right, it's a special occasion in so many ways, and there are those foods that you may only get to eat on Thanksgiving. But of all of them, most of them, you could make other times of the year.
Sure.
You can bake a pecan pie, you can make mashed potatoes, but part of it is that a turkey just takes so damn long. It's by necessity, it is a project. And I feel like people should embrace the momentousness of the turkey.
That's right. There's another line in my book that I repeat always, which has to do with appetizers, which I believe have no place in the Thanksgiving meal.
Yes, I'm so glad to hear you say this. Save the stomach space for the main attraction.
I do, as I've said many times, have a problem with this notion that I spent 8 hours creating a main dish, the turkey or the tofurkey or whatever that is, and like 6 sides, and I got these pies coming, and like, you know, you knew that we were going to eat at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. You can have an early lunch or something. You come into my house and eat 2 pounds of cashews and then refuse seconds on my turkey? That's a grievous insult to me. There are no mixed nuts in my house. Well, there's my family, but there aren't mixed nuts on the table.
Do you think there's any place for salad, straight up, like, I'm not talking about collard greens or some sort of like more traditional cooked greens, straight up salad, any place for it in Thanksgiving dinner?
I want to be perfectly clear about this. No.
I was also surprised to see in your book that you recommend cooking the turkey to 165 degrees.
As opposed to?
Well, I mean, my mom likes it really. I mean, my mom will sometimes even say 159, which, I mean, the U.S., the FDA would be calling right now and arguing. Well, I say 160.
Well, listen, the truth of the matter here is you're going to get an increase in the internal temperature of the meat after it comes out of the oven. The turkey is going to continue to cook itself for some time as it sits on the sideboard. It's a funny thing about moms. The moms that I have come in contact with in my Thanksgiving reporting fall into two camps. There is on the one side, the mom who cooks it to like 190 degrees. Celsius, and serves the cardboard turkey and is perfectly safe, albeit not very happy. On the other side of the equation are moms like your mom and my mom, who skirt pretty close to running blood at the corners. I think at 165, you're in really, really good shape. If you've got a tight skin on the bird, if you've started it at a high temperature and then brought it down, and you pull it out of the oven at 160, you're going to be at 167 by the time, 168 by the time you carve, and you're in great shape.
Right. It sounds like what you're saying is that mothers are all driven by anxiety, but their anxiety drives them into one of two camps. Either they're anxious about people getting sick, or they're anxious about having dry turkey.
And this is what I seek to allay in my book and in my evangelizing on this subject. Thanksgiving is a big deal to people because they don't cook enough the rest of the year. And if you spend some time cooking chickens, cooking a duck maybe, cooking a smaller turkey for your friends at other times of the year, if you get used to the idea that a bunch of people are going to come into your house and have a good time around your table, Thanksgiving anxiety decreases.
Coming up, my conversation with Sam Sifton continues. We'll debate which is better, stuffing or dressing. Plus, Sam tells us the one simple thing that you can do to class up your Thanksgiving dinner. And you don't even need to know how to cook to do it. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. You know, friends, the single best way to stay in touch with me and The Sporkful is by signing up for our email newsletter. We'll drop you a line when new episodes are coming out or when exciting things are happening. We'll never share your email address with anyone. We won't bug you too often. We just want to make your inbox a teeny tiny bit more delicious. Right now, we're sweetening the pot. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll be automatically entered to win one of 15 copies of my new book, Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious, available now wherever books are sold. Sign up by noon Eastern on Friday, December 5th, and you're entered to win. If you're already on the list, you're already entered. Get the full rules and sign up for the newsletter at sporkful.com. Well, recently we put the call out to you, the loyal listeners of The Sporkful, and I asked you guys to call in and tell me, how do you know it's Thanksgiving in your house? And I was really struck by the diversity of the responses. It's so interesting to me and so exciting to see how different people from different backgrounds and different areas of the country incorporate their own traditions into the tradition of Thanksgiving. So here's a taste of some of your calls.
This is Khadija. I'm calling from Guttenberg, New Jersey. My parents actually moved to America when I was 5 years old from Zambia. We're originally Indian, though. Celebrating Thanksgiving was kind of a foreign concept to them, and it wasn't actually until my sister started dating somebody who wasn't Indian and grew up celebrating Thanksgiving that we started taking part in the festivities. Originally, we used chicken because we had never had turkey ever in my family before. I think my dad brought it home one time from the deli, and we were all just like, what is this foreign meat? We don't understand it. So I guess now what I associate with Thanksgiving is whole roasted chicken. Spiced in a semi-Indian way with like some curry. It was just traditional Thanksgiving food and just kicking up the spice.
This is Allison from New Jersey, and I know it's Thanksgiving in my house because the smell of competition is in the air. Every year my family has a Thanksgiving competition with about 20 people, and everyone votes on the best dish. In the early years, we had two grandmothers competing against each other, so we established kind of a first, second, third place so that nobody had to pick which grandmother they liked best. You know, that was helpful to my aunt, who also hosts every year and would always threaten not to host again if she didn't win.
Hello, this is Marcos Roman from Kansas City, Missouri. I grew up in Ponce, Puerto Rico, and I moved to the United States when I was a little boy. Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the United States, and, you know, Thanksgiving is still a national holiday there. So we kind of embraced it, but we also added things that we eat every day. So I know that it's Thanksgiving in my house because I smell turkey roasted with sofrito and stuffed with mofongo, which is a smashed plantain, rice and beans. Instead of potatoes, yuca roots roasted with garlic and olive oil. And then for dessert, flan, tembleque, which is a coconut custard, arroz con dulce, which is a rice pudding sweetened with coconut milk and raisins, and then coquito, which is an alcoholic eggnog made with coconut milk.
Thanks, everyone, for your calls, and we'll be hearing more of your calls in next week's show. But I want to turn back now to you, Sam Sifton, from the New York Times, and I want to shift gears here just a little bit to tackle really a timeless Thanksgiving debate. And I'd like to know where you stand. Which is better, stuffing inside the bird or dressing outside the bird?
Well, I'm glad you used the correct nomenclature. I like both. I like a lot of it. And so stuffing does not suffice. If you stuff dressing into a 20-pound turkey, you have enough stuffing to serve half your guests. So I don't stuff, and I don't advocate stuffing. I advocate cooking dressing, which you can increase the turkiness of by adding turkey stock at the end, by giving a little extra spritz of gravy on the plate. And so you're going to have that dressing anyway. If you're any kind of a host, you'll have made more. So, you know, why retard the cooking time of the turkey, which is what the stuffing does? Just make the dressing on the side.
I'll give you two reasons why I think that you should retard the cooking time. I think, first of all, yes, turkey stock helps, but there's just no substitute for the glorious turkey juices that seep into stuffing when it's stuffed inside the bird. And second, I will say that I don't disagree with the portion is an issue. Can't get enough in there. So why not stuff the bird and then cook additional stuffing separately and then mix the two together so that you get some of that flavor? I also think that I don't mind that the turkey takes longer to cook when it's stuffed, because I believe that Thanksgiving is a day for momentousness. It is a day to be cooking all day. And the longer the turkey takes, the better.
That's an insane answer, but I'll take it. I'll take it. If you want to make the cooking process more complicated, that's an awesome way to do it. And it will result in a fabulous dressing. There's no question. So what's in your stuffing? Because it matters.
I go breadcrumbs, not cornbread breadcrumbs, straight up breadcrumbs, mushrooms and onions, which I cook beforehand.
Yep.
And then I do, well, it's funny. My wife grew up in a kosher home.
Mm-hmm.
So no butter, no dairy anywhere near Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And she has, to her credit, her mind has been opened a little bit to the notion of adding butter. But when first time I ever made a whole turkey for her, I agreed, okay, I won't use any butter. I went out and found kosher chicken schmaltz.
Oh, excellent.
In the freezer section.
Yeah.
And chicken schmaltz, for people who don't know, is rendered chicken fat. It's sort of a classic Jewish kosher cooking fat, because if you keep kosher, you don't mix meat and dairy. So you can't put butter on your Thanksgiving turkey or in your Thanksgiving stuffing. And so I tried chicken schmaltz. What do you think, Sam?
I bet that was great.
It worked very nicely. Now she's warmed up. She's kind of over the butter thing. It's like, as long as it's not right in front of her face, she's not going to ask questions.
Right.
But I kept the chicken schmaltz.
Right.
So I go butter and chicken schmaltz.
Love it.
And chicken broth.
I like the schmaltz issue. I think I'm going to give that a shot. That could be pretty good.
There's something about the dairy fat and the meat fat coming together.
Yeah,
in there.
I'm not even sure you would need. I mean, I love the butter. As you know, if you read this book, I think there should be a lot of butter involved in Thanksgiving. But if you took that away from me, if love put me in a position where I was in a home where I had to kind of follow kosher practice and I had to lose my bacon, my butter, all this. I like that schmaltz. I might try that anyway.
All right.
I think that sounds great.
I would love to hear your report back on that.
I will come back and tell you how it goes.
Let's talk about setting the stage for Thanksgiving. You oppose putting napkins into glasses to look like flowers, and you oppose napkins folded into birds.
Doesn't everyone? As a nation, we have grown up with this image of what a Thanksgiving table looks like. It's an image that was delivered to us by Norman Rockwell in his famous painting, Freedom from Want, where you have this picture-perfect family of white people with the old lady at the end with the perfect turkey and the angelic children looking up. It's an image that was later appropriated for American Gangster with Denzel Washington at the head of the table. It's in many ways a beautiful image of what family life at Thanksgiving can be. And it shows us a white tablecloth. It shows us a perfectly set arrangement. Most people can't pull that off, right? So they get nervous about it. And just the simple act of taking the setting of the table seriously helps. If you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking, you know what, there are a lot of people coming over, I think I'm going to go with the paper plates and go with the plastic stuff, that's a mistake. You can cobble it together. The plates don't have to match. The forks don't have to match. But there do need to be plates.
Yeah, I feel like real plates and real utensils, it's kind of like the, like in a car, leather seats versus cloth seats. It's like there's just something about it that just makes you, like you sit down in a leather seat in a car and you just feel classier.
I'll tell you that the real way to do it, because I hope that your listeners aren't considering paper plates versus real plates. But I'll tell you where you do see the issue arise, and it's in the napkin. The napkin is a tell. Getting a cloth napkin, folding it, making it neat, making it nice, and putting it under the fork or forks at a Thanksgiving table, that's your leather interior.
How do you know it's Thanksgiving in your house? What are the sights, the smells, the sounds? What's happening that you know that it's this special day?
Well, the fridge is packed. There's a lot of stuff in there. The oven is on early, so the kitchen is warm and will remain warm and fragrant for most of the day. During the day, there are knocks on the door as people arrive, and with them come children, come dogs, come sprays of flowers. And I would say in the mid-afternoon, there's this great moment when my wife begins the process of getting the table together. Children are involved, place cards are made, a runner might be put down. It's pretty exciting. And meanwhile, the turkey is coming to its inevitable conclusion. The sides are basically done and sitting warm and bubbly. There's stock going. And
are you stressed at
point? No, man. I'm in my zone. That's the best part of the day.
See, I love that too, because you're in, like you said, you're in the zone. You get a lot of adrenaline. You're focused on your task. I don't feel stress. I enjoy that sort of that rush of excitement also. But the one thing that I do feel like I'm missing at that time is a chance to interact with other people who are there. Like, I feel like it's hard for me to carry on a quality conversation while I'm trying to pay attention to the five things on the stove and look at the clock and
yeah,
direct traffic.
I have no desire to talk to anyone. I mean, I think like a lot of cooks and a lot of obsessives and a lot of strange people, I'm happy in the kitchen. I'm happy. I'm in my shed. I'm that guy.
Right.
The oven is my ham radio, and I'm hoping for contact with Vladivostok. I'm not, there is no part of me that wants to go out and be tempted by the nuts on the on the table, right? These are friends, these are family, these are people I love and care about, and they know that I'm at my happiest preparing this meal for them, and I know that they're at their happiest out there jawboning about whatever it is that they're jawboning about.
So, Sam, you've given us a lot of good input and advice. Right now, I want to ask you to talk to the person out there who's getting ready to cook or may have already started cooking and preparing for their Thanksgiving, and they're feeling like they're not sure if they can pull it off.
Everything is going to be all right. That's the message I'm here to deliver. You're going to display a kind of self-confidence that maybe you don't feel inside. There's going to be plenty of food. And if it looks as if there's not, you're going to pour double-sized drinks.
Sam Sifton, food editor for the New York Times and author of the excellent book, Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, sir.
And Sam was nice enough to share a recipe from his Thanksgiving cookbook. He gave us roasted cauliflower with anchovy breadcrumbs, which he says is his personal favorite in the whole book. That recipe is up on Sporkful.com. We'll also post Rosie Schapp's cocktail recipe from earlier in the show at Sporkful.com. And I should mention that Sam and his cohorts at the Times have just launched a brand new cooking website and app at nytcooking.com. You can search over 16,000 New York Times recipes going back decades. It's really a wonderful thing, so check that out. And hey, sign up for the Sporkful email newsletter. If you do it by December 5th, you're automatically entered to win one of 15 copies of my new book, Eat More Better, How to Make Every Bite More Delicious. If you're already on the mailing list, you're already entered to win. Go sign up now at Sporkful.com. And two more weeks of Thanksgiving shows to come. Next week, we'll have Kenji Lopez-Alt, the food science guru from Sirius Eats. He and I are going to nerd out on turkey cooking hardcore. It's going to be great. And then 2 weeks from now, you're not going to believe it, you guys, Amy Sedaris. She will be my guest here on The Sporkful to talk all things hosting and entertaining at Thanksgiving. I am a huge fan of hers and just so, so excited for that show. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Kristen Meinzer. We get web help from Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Chris Bannett. I'll be back next week when Thanksgiving continues. Until then, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.